Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You have got to be kidding me, Lee.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding. After all the moralizing, the testimony before Congress, remember from the leader of Twitter, the CEO of Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
About how, you know, they really started out with just they were going to have free speech, but they just can't now because, you know, Trump won and there's just so many hateful people, especially on the right. And they're going to have to just control what they say. Right. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just it's incumbent upon them. It's their moral responsibility. All of that sermonizing and moralizing. And Marco Rubio, by the way, loved it. He thought that was the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Totally censor people on my side. It's going to be awesome. He's like, the important thing is we get the Russians, right? Got to get those Russians because they're white supremacists, too. If you don't believe me, ask the Huffington Post, right? Okay. So all of that goes on. And they assure us at Twitter that they are not biased in any way, right? They are not. They have this internal policy. It's an algorithm. And it sniffs out the hate and the trolls. And so, you know, they take care of you that way. Well, I can't imagine how that algorithm works. Because Twitter is refusing to do anything about Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine. Now, before I tell you about Twitter and Louis Farrakhan, let me remind you about Candace Owens for a minute. You know who Candace Owens
yes.
is, right? She is a very bad person. And we know right. that because Kanye West likes her. He loves the way she thinks, right? That's all he said, and it launched an attempt by the left to completely destroy his entire hip-hop empire, right? Okay, Candace Owens is a black conservative, okay, which makes her very, very dangerous. So we don't want anybody getting the idea they can leave the plantation. So Candace Owens tested this theory out. Do you remember the pro-genocide lunatic that the New York Times appointed to their editorial board, which decides the editorial direction? As she was first, she thought the world would be best if we had white genocide, if cops were killed and or disarmed, and she really hates white men. And thinks they should all be killed. I'm literally an advocate for genocide. Okay. She still has a Twitter account, which is un-be-freaking-leavable. So Candace Owens decided to challenge this whole idea about, you know, let's see what Twitter would do. Do you remember this? And she copied a tweet by Sarah Jong, the pro-genocide Asian supremacist who is on the New York Times editorial board. And she took the word white out and she replaced it with Jewish. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted like 5 minutes. She was banned on Twitter. She was out in the doghouse for 12 hours. She actually put, do you remember under the tweet that this was a test of Twitter to see what the algorithm would do? OK, Sarah Jong never lost her Twitter account.
Yeah,
never did. Candace Owens was banned for about 12 hours while, you know, Fox News laughed at Twitter.
Right.
And then they realized the joke was on them and they gave it back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of crap that we have to put up with. And it's getting out of control. Do you remember when James Woods had the censorship situation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't say anything, you know, controversial, racist, homophobic. I mean, nothing at all like that. They just decided he was too conservative. And they had actually, they actually referred back to a tweet. He ended up locked out of Twitter. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Twitter
lockdown. Yeah, Twitter lockdown for him. Okay. And he's one of Hollywood's leading conservative voices. The reason was a jokey July 20th meme he circulated that claimed to come from Democrats, remember this, and encouraged men not to vote in the upcoming midterm elections. And it showed some real girly looking guys. And it said that the meme said hashtag let women decide and no men midterm. And it said, you know, if you're a good liberal man, you just won't vote. You'll stay home, right? Because you're a poison upon the earth. Well, that idea actually came, remember, from the Washington Post and the New York Times. They were suggesting in editorials that hating men was a good idea for the country and that literally men should not run for office and should not vote. So somebody made a meme out of it. It was funny. Okay. So he ends up locked out of Twitter for that. And you can look at it and tell it was a joke. It was funny. Okay. Farrakhan just published a tweet likening Jews to termites. Here's him saying the same thing.
When they talk about Farrakhan, call me a hater. You know what they do. Call me an anti-Semite. Stop it. I'm anti-termite.
Okay. Alan Dershowitz, a Jewish person commentator on Fox, explained what that means.
He's a classic anti-Semite. First of all, the analogy to termites comes right out of the Nazi playbook. Nazis use the word termites consistently to dehumanize Jews and to accuse them of destroying everything good about the world. Farrakhan has been very explicit. He's blamed the Jews for all the problems of the world. He's called Judaism a religion of Satan. And Twitter's made a decision not to ban him. Twitter has to have a single standard.
Right.
If a white supremacist had made a similar statement about African Americans, the question is, would Twitter ban them? It can't have a double standard based on race. And all good people have to come out and condemn, but especially people who participated in the Million Man March.
So we go, anyway, it goes on about it. And by the way, I got that wrong. When Candace Owens, she's black. When she did the tweet, she replaced Sarah Jong, the Asian supremacist. She replaced white men with black men. She is black. And Twitter banned her for 12 hours. Yet Farrakhan, Twitter is saying, oh, he can totally keep his Twitter account. This is absolutely outrageous. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this for a minute. Okay. If Candace Owens, who is black, is not allowed to racially slur black people, right? She gets banned, but she's conservative. That's what the problem is. Then why does Don Lemon still have a Twitter account?
Yeah.
Because Don Lemon racially slurred Kanye.
Yeah.
But Kari Sellers, who's a commentator on, often on the Don Lemon show on CNN, who is also a politician from South Carolina, said this is what happens when Negroes don't read.
Yeah.
That is a racist slur.
Right.
He still has a verified Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
But they took Candace Owens' verified Twitter account for committing racism on other black people.
Right.
So the only standard here is conservative people don't get to talk. It's not even conservative white people. It's just conservative people.
You are absolutely correct. That it could not be more clear.
No. It couldn't. They have no internal algorithm.
No.
They can't possibly. No scientific algorithm could behave in this way. Because there's no logic guiding it other than we hate conservatives. We especially hate black conservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an outrage. Farrakhan has published a publication that glorifies Hitler. He put it in writing. He has never apologized for that.
And yet, you can have former presidents show up on stage with this man, no criticism of them whatsoever.
Yep.
But yet there can be some statement that some real white supremacist like, David Duke may make that has nothing to do and is not endorsed by a current president. And yet that is affixed to him and he is blamed for it. That's the hypocrisy that goes on in this country right now.
And this can't continue. I mean, if it was merely about speech, it'd be one thing, but it's not. This is about monetization.
Yes.
This is blocking people who monetize their speech. It is an absolute issue of monopoly. And it's just, it's outrageous. I mean, this proves there's no algorithm.
No.
I mean, do you really, as Twitter, want to stand behind Farrakhan? You really want to do that? Especially when using the term termite to describe Jews came straight out of the Third Reich? I mean, do you realize that means they're throwing in with Hitler?
Well.
At Twitter?
That phrase is thrown at Republicans all the time.
Yeah. And what do you always say, Lee, about the left?
Whatever it is that they're doing or whatever they accuse you of is what they themselves are doing.
Meet the new Third Reich. They go by Twitter in the modern era. Did you see this? This is just absolutely incredible what is going on here. SLED is now looking into that drunk driving Greenville County crash that left a 17-year-old dead. Okay, Madison Bagwell, 19 years old, prolific drunk driver. Let me put it this way. Alleged prolific drunk driver. In the annals of parenting, folks. She gets she racks up her first DUI last year, about a year ago in 2017, on Winmont Road in Pickens, okay? She's charged with driving under the influence. In the car is this drunk guy. I mean, drunk as a skunk. And that's according to the police report. Heavily intoxicated. His name is Nick Adams. So you got Madison Bagwell, who at the time was 18. She's riding around. She's drunk as a skunk. She's racking up a DUI. She's drunk. She racks up a DUI. I should say allegedly drunk, right? Because she hasn't been convicted yet. Her case is pending. Okay, in the car. So she's underage. In the car is a grown adult by the name of Nick Adams. He is heavily intoxicated. He's not driving, but he's in the car, okay? She gets her first DUI. Do you know who Nick Adams is? Nick Adams is the father of the 17-year-old girl Madison Bagwell just killed. Drunk driving again. So you got Madison Bagwell, who's now 19. She's on her second DUI and her first kill. She killed her best friend. Just drunk as a skunk. She's coming home from the speedway. Friend's in the front seat of the car. Friend's no longer with us. She's dead. Flipped a Jeep. Drunk driving accident. Now they're looking back at the first DUI. And this beautiful 17-year-old girl who was killed by Madison Bagwell, Jessica Adams. Jessica Adams' father, Nick, apparently drives around with Jessica Adams' best friend when she's drunk. And they're drunk, too. And he's drunk, too. I mean, this is unbelievable. What? Okay, the question to ask that, and I can't believe there were no charges in the first one. How on earth did an 18-year-old get the alcohol that she consumed in order to do the first DUI? Sure looks like her best friend's father might have known something about that since he was drunk in a car with her. Those are the questions SLED is now asking State Law Enforcement Division of South Carolina. So fast forward to now. Madison Bagwell's driving drunk again. That's what she does, apparently. Allegedly. This time, she's got Nick Adams' 17-year-old daughter in the car. Crashes. 17-year-old daughter's dead. Okay, so SLED has now launched an investigation. Here's why. Because they want to know where Madison Bagwell, who is 19 and thus underage, got the alcohol. And one of the places they're looking for an answer to that question is Travelers Rest Speedway. This is from the Greenville News, so it might be true. Eddie Ray, the owner of the Travelers Rest Speedway, said the group involved in the wreck was forced to leave the parking lot of the speedway when the track closed. He said they were revving their engines and driving around in circles, kicking up dirt and rocks and endangering others in the parking lot. Wow. They're the ones we had to give a stern get out of here to. They were about to run somebody over. I mean, this is a total disregard for human life. They were about to run somebody over, Ray said. They were jumping over parking stones, which is dangerous. Where'd they get the idea they could drive around drunk underage in a car? I don't know. It's what daddy does. According to the police report. WYFF in Fox, Carolina, where I got that reporting from. Okay, so Nick Adams has now lost his beautiful little girl. And he's asked, you know, where do you think your daughter and her drunk driving killer got their alcohol? Here's dad's answer. Here we go. Let me try it again. Here we go. Here we go. Let's try again.
I do not. All I can say is this. At the racetrack, I don't know you. But say I was drinking beer, I run out of beer, and you had some, I'd be, hey, man, let me get one of them beers. Okay, man, here you go. That's how it is.
And this is him on the loss of his daughter to her best friend drunk at the wheel.
She's daddy's girl. She always stayed with me. That was my world. That was my every day. Now, I don't know, man, lost.
Wow. Do you remember when I announced, and I had to tell you this because you wouldn't have known any other way, which is incredible, that Trump had defeated ISIS? I mean, what? I mean, you want to talk about the list of accomplishments. People say, oh, taxes, blah, blah. No, ISIS defeated ISIS. It most specifically destroyed the caliphate. When Trump took office, there was no border between Syria and Iraq. It had been destroyed. There was a 30,000 person strong caliphate. It was ISIS fighters and their families. They were creating their own state. And I've explained to you how Trump did it, which was unbelievable that they did. I mean, do you remember John Kerry and his policy of containment? Well, we're going to let them have a caliphate. Just now we're going to not let it get that big. Remember that? Remember all of that. They controlled 37 wilaya, that's their word for provinces, across Iraq and Syria. They brutalized and killed tens of thousands. Nobody cared. And do you remember, to my horror, when the first thing, when Hillary Clinton was asked at that debate with Trump, what is the first thing you're going to do on day one of your tenure if you're elected president? She said, oh, well, I mean, I'm going to tell the Russian Air Force that they have to get out of the air in Syria. We're going to have a no-fly zone. So Assad's not going to be able to fly and the Russians aren't going to be able to fly. That is perfect protection for the caliphate. That's what she was promising. The only reason that the Russians and under Obama and the Russians and the Syrians were able to keep control, any kind of control at all over the rapidly expanding caliphate, was because of the Air Force, and Hillary was promising to take it out. ISIS was going to have free reign. I mean, they eventually would have controlled most of Iraq and probably all of Syria. They were well on their way to doing that, right? I mean, so this was the best success that any kind of fighting group had ever had, Islamic fighting group, in modern history. I mean, not since they teamed up with the Saudis to conquer what is now known as the Saudi Arabian Peninsula have they ever slayed, murdered, and taken so much land in the name of Islam. It was very exciting for them. And it ended. Our battle against them was supposed to go on for decades. Remember, we might never win. Trump proved that wrong. There now is a border between Iraq and Syria. Okay. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Trump defeated the caliphate, so ISIS is going away. Oh, no, they're not. They announced a shift in their priority list. You may have missed it. This is a big deal. That basically, while Trump is in office, and they didn't say it, but it's what they meant. While Trump is in office, they're not going to be able to have a caliphate or conquer land anymore. So they're going to switch to the same tactics Al-Qaeda used. Mid-size, bloody, brutal attacks in Western countries, which we did not see during the Obama era. Why didn't we see it? Well, I mean, they were the ones fighting the Russians. There was a hands-off understanding. No, there was. You know why? Okay, let me explain this. Do you remember back when Obama wanted to send troops into Syria on behalf of the jihadist fighters who Assad was killing? Do you remember that? And Congress said, no. Well, Obama needed a fighting force to take on the Russians. The only people available, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and their affiliated groups, right? So they let them have the caliphate because we weren't willing to send our boys there. So we had a wink, wink, nod, nod understanding with ISIS. And I've explained this over the years many, many times. This is why we're not seeing large-scale attacks coordinated by ISIS leadership on our shores. We have seen lone wolves, certainly, acting alone or inspired by ISIS, sure, but not planned with their help. So what was the first thing that they announced when Trump took the caliphate down? I mean, they did that. I mean, ISIS actually announced, well, we're not going to be able to hold territory anymore, so we're not even going to try. We're going to go back to large-style attacks. Remember that? You wouldn't remember that since the media never told you that Trump had defeated ISIS. They didn't want you to know. But I told you. And I said, watch out. Catastrophic attacks are coming. Because they weren't going to do a catastrophic attack before. That would have forced Obama or President Hillary to take out the caliphate, or at least parts of it, just for public cover. So they couldn't hit the homeland. This is why you saw no coordinated attacks originating from Islamic State leadership on the homeland. It was a wink, wink, nod, nod. They got the caliphate. Hillary promised to protect it with Patriot missiles, figuring you didn't know what the caliphate was. Safe space, she called it, in the middle of Syria and Iraq for these poor people that Assad and the Russians are targeting. You mean ISIS and Al-Qaeda? Yeah, them. So I want to warn you, this is coming. We are going to see large-scale attacks. It will be blamed on Trump. It is because of Trump's success. And by large-scale attacks, I'm not talking about a lone wolf. I'm talking about coordinated by ISIS. Attacks we did not see under Obama. And they will even point out to you that we didn't see them under Obama. That's why. So in the context of all that, I want to read you this, because this ought to scare the hell out of you. Headline: at least 60 Islamic State fighters have returned to Canada. I'll let you process that for a minute. A new report shows that at least 60 Islamists who fought for the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq have been allowed to return to Canada, despite some of them not even having Canadian citizenship. Remind me again, how hard is it to come for a day trip down from Canada to here? Not too hard. Folks, we desperately need to close our borders. And I don't just mean with Mexico. I mean with what used to be the Western world, for our own safety. Around 180 individuals referred to as extremist travelers. Oh, God, you got to love the left. They're not ISIS. Didn't they behead some people in that video? Rape Yazidis. Take 12-year-old girls as wives against their will. Yeah. But they're not ISIS. They're extremist travelers. Around 180 individuals referred to as extremist travelers by the Canadian government who have connections to Canada have traveled to various countries to fight for the Islamic State and other radical terrorist groups. The Canadian government officials call the group extremist travelers. Okay. According to the U.S. SOFEN Center, which recently released a report on returning Islamic State radicals, despite the losses for the terror group in the Middle East, the ideology of radical Islamism will remain real for many years to come. And their warning, here it is, just as I told you, it is highly likely that as the territorial caliphate shrinks and is increasingly denied an overt presence, that's Trump did that, its leadership will look to move overseas, including returnees, to keep the brand alive, is exactly what I told you. So Canada's like, oh, well, you know, we can't turn them away. I mean, you know, they want to come to Canada and we have to just try to understand them so they won't be mad. No, they're coming to Canada to kill us. Like they said they would. Folks, they're telling us what they're going to do. They're telling, and we won't listen. Here's the problem. The UK and Europe has also allowed actual ISIS fighters, not just fans of ISIS, on Twitter or Facebook. I'm talking like actual ISIS fighter to return. It is estimated there are hundreds of them in the London area alone. We have visa reciprocity with these folks, people. A lot of them have European citizenship, UK, France, wherever. You know what that means, don't you? All they gotta do is get a visa and they can come here. We can't stop them. I guess if they're on the terror watch list, we could detain them. I don't know. But they're UK citizens in good standing. And that's if they don't hop, skip, and jump right over the Canadian border. I'm telling you, but we cannot continue to have visa reciprocity with our allies. Anyway, if you're wondering why the flood of Islamic fighters coming back to Canada and Europe, well, they're telling us what they're going to do. Anyway, I wanted to let you know before it happened so I can replay this monologue when Trump gets blamed for it. It's because of his success and their lack of his success at defeating ISIS and their lax border policies in these other Western nations that you're going to see, I don't know, dozens, hundreds of Americans killed. It's coming. The detente, the truce between Obama and ISIS is off, and they're gunning for us. Texter writes, Tara, do you think that Khashoggi was killed by the radicals to drive a wedge between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia? I think it's more complicated than that. That's why I haven't said a lot about this. I'm going to wait till it sorts out a little more. Keep in mind, ISIS is Saudi Arabia. Al-Qaeda is Saudi Arabia. They are the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is the intelligence security arm of the Saudis. They are radical Wahhabists. Where did the school of Wahhabism that has been responsible for generating the fighters, the recruitable fighters, come from? All of those radical mosques, most of them anyway, radical mosques, that Wahhabist movement all over the world has been exported by Saudi Arabia. They are not our friends. Not even close. They are our enemies. In fact, they scare me every bit as much as Iran, if not more. It's just so bizarre that we have treated them the way that we do and have ignored the direct connections between the royal family and 9/11. I mean, Mueller cut his teeth covering up for the royal family and their direct connection. We literally can trace the bank accounts. and 9/11. It is unbelievable what they've gotten away with. I've never seen anything like it. Meanwhile, the best analysis I've seen done of this is by Dan Hansen at the Center for Security Studies on the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Take a listen to what he said. Because, you know, when I heard it was Turkey accusing, doing the accusation, I went, oh, Turkey. Take a listen.
If it turns out that this was a Saudi action, then there's a price that needs to be paid. We don't have any facts yet. Keep in mind right now, every fact that people are claiming to know in this case came from Turkish security services, all right, the state police of Turkey, who can't be trusted. They've got 160 journalists in prison right now themselves.
And they don't like the Saudis.
They hate the Saudis, all right, and the Qataris and them are friends. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
So we are kind of relying on Turkey, though. So if those are the folks in charge of this operation and you don't trust them, how will we ever know what actually happened?
I'm not convinced we ever will know exactly what happened. But if it turns out there's enough proof that the Saudis did it, like I said, they should pay a price.
Yeah. This idea that Turkey's this good place and our ally, oh, they're an Islamist mess.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.